Thank you, everyone, for attending our last year of the Zman. Maybe we'll have an Eretz Yisrael edition next week. Members of our Chabura will be in the Holy Land in the near future. So that would be so exciting if we had an Eretz Yisrael edition. So maybe we'll be in touch about that if we try to keep on learning.
Actually, next Monday night I have a bummer.
So well, maybe, and that's Monday night is my flight, but whatever, we'll figure it out. We'll be in touch, and if we keep on growing together, whether it's through Ben Azmanim growth or through distance, we'll figure it out. So why not end with a controversial topic before I run away? Let's learn about Korach, Machlokes, and breakaway shuls this evening, and we'll have obviously a sensitive tone, and the only rule of thumb this evening is we're not going to speak about Fairlawn. That's going to be the only rule. Whatever communities we might be associated with, right? Obviously, we're not talking about Fairlawn, New Jersey this evening. That is an obvious rule of thumb. We're not going to be speaking about any individuals, any individual rabbis. That goes without saying. This week's parsha, Vayigach Elazar HaKohen as Machtos HaNechoshes HaYikuvu HaSeruv HaYarikum HaSipoil HaMizbech. So all of the men that were with Korach, right, they had to bring their korbanos, and the tins on which they brought their korbanos were used as a coating for the Mizbeach, Zikaron L'Bnei Yisrael. So these copper pans that were used for their korbanos were brought onto the Mizbeach as a coating, a copper layer, as a remembrance, L'man Asher Lo Yikov Ishzar, Asher Lo Mizer Aaron Hula Hakter Ketoros L'Bnei Hashem V'Lo Yekichorach Chadasok Asher Dibar Hashem B'Yad Moshe Lo. It's the best reminder. Imagine we had this huge plaque, you know, on the shul or on the aron of all these individuals who were murdered, you know, who were killed by Hashem, rather punished by Hashem, whatever, killed by Beis Din, you know, because they did X, Y, or Z. It's the ultimate reminder not to repeat that grievous sin. Says the Bahag, the Urayim, the Smak, they actually count this as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Lo yichakorach, siva kadosh baruch hu shelo ya'arer adam ala kahuna. It's not fair that so-and-so is a Kohen. I can't work in the Mesa Migdash. One of the Isurim de'oraisa. You can't speak Lashon Hara. You can't eat treif. You can't work on Shabbos. And you also are not allowed to protest against the hierarchy, the division of importance in the Torah, which means you're not allowed to say, hey, it's not fair that so-and-so is a Kohen or a Levi and I'm not. That's not fair. That's violating the mistake of Korach. It's one of the Isurim de'oraisa.
Not that so-and-so is a Kohen, that you're a Kohen, that Kohen doesn't and I don't.
Right, that's what I meant to say. Very good, Abby. Right, that it's not fair that he's entitled to something that I'm not entitled to, right? All, you know, Korach's main argument is that we're all equal. You know, why should there be a division, etc.? Now, the Urayim, not only the Urayim, but the Urayim makes it very clear that this Isur Midoraisa spreads. V'chein, similarly, lo ya'arer al kol adam v'adam shenasan lo kavod b'mitzvahs hayotzer. Anytime someone is endowed with a responsibility or an honor from Hashem, we are not allowed to feel slighted by the fact that we are not on that same madriga. So hypothetically, if someone maybe is honored at a dinner or awarded some award from the shul, and it's in the spiritual context, and we are jealous, potentially we are violating this issur. But again, let me read the words carefully. V'chein lo ya'arer, a person should not protest, al kol adam v'adam, against any individual, shenasan lo kavod b'mitzvas hayotzer, who received some form of honor in the context of serving Hashem, t'chsiv b'parshas v'yikach korach, v'lo yechorach k'korach ha'chadaso, she'irer al moshe v'aron k'tchsiv u'madu t'isnasu al kal Hashem. So in the same way that Korach was upset and instigated, provoked an argument against Moshe and Aaron, so to anyone who would do something along those lines violates that Isser. Now, in my opinion, I think the concept of a breakaway shul is very connected to what we're talking about, right? When we speak about a shul, and again, Korach is seemingly the first breakaway, you know, shul, no, not in history, no, maybe who's before Korach?
Not so clear cut, Rabbi.
Oh, very good. Okay, we'll get to the obviously this whole shiur. Don't worry, Abe. I know what you're talking about.
But on one side.
Of course. We're going to say both sides. Don't worry. I got you back. So Korach feels slighted, and what does he do? He wants to break away, and he wants to bring everyone with him. Very similar to the Meraglim, that they weren't just going to deviate. They wanted to recruit and actually take down the original plan. Then Korach wanted to take Moshe down. It wasn't like he just wanted to do his own thing innocently. There was a real motive there. So when we think about breakaway shuls, A.B. right away challenged me and said, whoa, Rabbi, why would you ever compare some wonderful, beautiful Torah institutions, a base Knesset, a makom that is designated for tefillah and spiritual growth, never compare such a thing, which is so holy, to Korach or Russia, Chas v'Chalila. So let's throw the question out. What is our opinion about breakaway shuls? And let's not think about the examples locally, because that's too sticky. Meaning, objectively, if I say breakaway shul, what's the first association? Good, bad, positive?
By calling it breakaway, you're already making it sound
bad. Very good. So breakaway, the word, is already a little bit derogatory, meaning it seems, like rebellious, they're deviating, there's something less than ideal. Oh, and there maybe comes with an anger, right? There's clearly something bad that transpired. It's not completely innocent, right? There's clearly a story there. Good. Any other associations? Machlokas. Ooh. Yeah, good. So Jerome already, by the way, says, well, there's a difference between a machlokas, l'shem shemayim, and a machlokas, l'shem shemayim. The last makoros, ironic, we'll do them now because you branched it out. Pirkei Avos, we know, right? The paradigm for machlokas l'shem shemayim is Korach, right? Mechol Adasso. Kol machlokas shi l'shem shemayim pirkei Avos hey yud zayin. So for this kaim, she'ein l'shem shemayim ein, so for this kaim. Eizu machlokas shi l'shem shemayim, zu machlokas hillel v'shamay. And what's the beautiful part of this Mishnah? The Mishnah promotes machlokas. It says that the machlokas will last. Ideally, it's supposed to last. The machlokas l'shem shemayim, so for lehit kayem, we want it to continue, as opposed to a machlokas which is not for the sake of shemayim, that will not last. And Ravanya the Bartanura, he quotes his own pshat originally. However, then he says a beautiful pshat, va'ani shamati. It's a really beautiful idea, and it's going to be really everything we speak about this evening. Again, only because you mentioned it so early on, Jerome, will say the punchline of the shiur now. What does it mean, sofa lehit kayem versus sofa analis kayem? What does sof mean? We generally assume that the word sof is a timeline. If the machlokas is l'shem shemayim, so in the end of the story, X or Y will happen. But no, says the Bartanur, sof means what's the motive? Meaning, what's the sof? What's the end driving point? Namely, tachlita hamevukash m'inyana. Meaning, what's your sof? What's your end goal? If you're fighting, what's the sof of your machlokas? Hamachlokashi l'shem shemayim, the tachlis v'hasof. Right, beautifully, this explanation is explaining, translating the word sof as what's the goal, what's the end point of your machlokas. So if it's to get to MS, that will last. So beishamai, beisil, shamai, beil. Their sof was MS. They were trying to arrive at MS. In contrast, what's the sof? What's the motive, the goal of a machlokas l'shem shemayim? Like Korach, what was the goal? Not to arrive at Emes, but rather what? Right, there it is. Tachlis hanirza ba hi bakashat hasrara v'ahavat hanetzach. Wow, meaning he wants to win. He wants to be the leader, and he loves the fight. I remember once I was in a very heated situation working on NCSY summer, and me and an Israeli tour guide were fighting with a non-Jewish Arab hotel-like concierge-type guy. And we essentially got messed over, whatever, with room keys. I don't know. And our wonderful Israeli tour guide, Dael, I love this guy. We became very close that summer. He looked at me and he said, you know, Yoni, that guy just likes to be not happy. I mean, I was trying to logically argue, listen, we really need to rent this room right now, blah, blah. And like Dael, my buddy and colleague, explained to me, like, this guy lives on fighting. Like, you're giving him more excitement in his life right now. You don't get it, you know? And that's a machlokas l'shem shemayim, where people enjoy the machlokas itself. It's all about me, 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 and they like the heat. And unfortunately, social media, people love this stuff. It's really, really sad. They don't want to arrive at MS. They want the explosion, right? They want to foster the heat. That's all, unfortunately, all of media. Right? They don't really care about the news. They want people to get upset on a microphone, right? That's how you make money. That's very, very sad. It's very, very, very sad. Wow. Okay. So that was a little bit of Musser. So clearly Korach is not trying to arrive at MS. He's trying to either arrive at Sarara, seemingly wanted to be on the top himself, or just for the sake of the Machlokas. So what would you say now again about a breakaway shul, a breakaway minion, a house minion? So very good. So the first question we need to ask is, what is the motive? So let's go with a very easy scenario. Shulchan Aruch, it's the third paragraph on the Mar Makomos. If you want to follow along, Simon Sadi of Orachaim Siftes. Yishtadot Adam Lispala Bebeis HaKnesses Im HaTzibur. Where should you daven? In shul, period. If you are unable to attend shul, like coronavirus, where literally shul is closed, or you know someone could not walk, you know, like Leo Zecher Tzadik Livracha, you know, he just couldn't get to shul at the end of his life. So finally, people ended up making a minyan at his house, you know, at the very end there, where he felt like people could go to his backyard, etc. So in such a case where you can't make it to shul, well, yechavin lispalel b'shush et sibur mispalel, and at least try to time your personal tefillah at the same time when the minyan and shul is davening. Right? It's a beautiful idea, right? Where you can't make it to shul, so at least daven. Well, listen, there's a 9:30 marv in Shomrei, so daven marv in your living room at 9:30 that evening. All right, I can't make it to shul, but you know, time it equally. Nice idea. So I think it's obvious that anytime the goal, the motive of the breakaway minyan is to just not daven and shul, that's the easy scenario. And let's talk about this for a second. You know, I don't know how many of us have ever been in that scenario where there's the living room minyan, the basement minyan, and literally the only motive is we don't want to daven and shul. That, I think, is the most basic scenario.
You don't want to walk.
So I'm not talking about length of walking. I'm happy you asked that. I'm talking about a person who lives around the corner from a shul, who lives, let's say, within 5 minutes.
Just don't want to daven in a certain building.
So let's assume that we're going to state the obvious, and I hope it's as obvious as you think it is, AB. But let's assume that, you know, even if you live around the block from a shul, I remember once I was looking to move to a certain community, not Fairlawn, and we were looking at a house, and someone on the block of a house that I was looking at said, we have our own WhatsApp of this block. So, like, for example, if it's a little chilly or whatever on a Motzei Shabbos, if we want to kind of like make a mariv or whatever, you know, it's inconvenient to go to shul. So we'll have like a WhatsApp group, and we'll have like kind of our own block minion sometimes. And it was this pitch. And I was like, I actually would be the guy who Bashita doesn't dominate that minion. And I'd be the guy who was I wasn't trying to give a musr. I was open enough with him, and you know, it was ironically as maybe as intense as that response sounds. It was actually, believe it or not, a pleasant response. So again, the Yekka, obviously, you know, Jerome has this agenda here. Never would you beat the shul on time? What? Well, again, I told him, I'm like, I can't, like, again. Well, those were wonderful people. They would all go to shul on Shabbos morning, but it was interesting to me that he, as a selling point, tried to say, we have our own block minion sometimes. And I'm like, dude, I'm a rabbi, you know, like you're breaking away from me, you know. So, he was a smart guy, and I appreciated his pitch. Didn't clarify that I should have moved to that particular community, perhaps. That being said, everyone should be blessed in that block, and they're up to that minion should be blessed. I have no tainus. But push-up shot number one is that if your only motive is, I just don't want to go to shul, that should be very obviously categorized as a motive of the Yetzer Hara, as lo l'shem shemayim. Our goal should be to try to daven in shul, period. That is so obvious. Good.
But a Friday night minion is not a
breakaway. Oh, so Peter, all of a sudden, out of left field, tries to justify Friday night breakaway as opposed to Shabbos morning breakaway? Is that what did I hear you right?
No, it's okay.
Is that what you meant?
I don't think that's what it is.
I know. I've seen such a chilek, believe it or not, I've seen such a chilek in the post.
With all due respect, I think what he means is, by going Friday night and then Shabbos, they're going to go to the main shul.
Right.
They're not breaking
away. Right, it's not a breakaway. Shul, it's a breakaway minion. So a breakaway minyan, let's just say, is certainly less controversial. However, what did the Shulchan Aruch say? You should always try to daven in shul. Meaning, if the goal on Friday night to daven in some guy's living room is, I can't really explain why. So yes, I would be less than thrilled about the existence of such a minyan. Again, it's certainly not the worst thing in the world. And again, all the people are wonderful humans. But again, my question, the starting point of the evening is, why are you not in shul? So if there's a good answer, we'll get there. But if the answer is like, we don't really know, and we probably shouldn't really be doing this, but whatever. So my goal as the rabbi here, my job here is to be, kind of like just heighten the sensitivity of, well, then maybe you should all be in shul. Right? Friendly conversation, Peter. Friendly conversation. Again, I would only live in Peter is the one who attracted me to Fairland, by the way. Now, we all know that story. Changing my kids' diapers when I got to eat a Friday night meal. Okay? So Peter is the opposite of Korach. Yeah. Shkhar Halicha. So Dafka walked to the farther way. There is such a discussion about which shul ever, there's such a concept. Good. Good. Supporting me. I support Peter. Again, I think the Shekhinah follows Peter wherever he goes. So again, Peter is not about you. It's about the other nine men. So let's go on. All right, so that was point number one. Point number two is going to be a similar sugya that ironically is not our sugya, but it'll be a good, kind of springboard. Mishaya b'beso beis haknesses yamim ramim. Let's say you're the house minyan location. There's always a minyan in your house. Ein hatzibur rishoyim l'shanoso b'bayis acher. Meaning, if there is no shul in town, but we always daven at the Weissman home for 10 years. Everyone knows, like, Peter's house is essentially the shul. And then all of a sudden, we could decide to change it up. That's not allowed. Why do you think it's not allowed? What are people going to say? Must be that the reason we changed the location was what? There must be a flaw within the Weissman's, meaning it doesn't look good if we randomly leave an individual's home. That would speak negatively about the individual. But says Mishnah Berurah, Vimrak miktas me'atzibur rotzim this parade. Only a percentage of the people davening at the Weissman's house want to leave. Ulis bablam okum acher rasha'im. Rasha'im meaning permissible, not Russia with an ayin, rasha'im with an aleph. They are allowed to do such a thing. Kevin shagam bebeso mispalim k'tas, since there's still a minyan going on at Peter's home. Balonis batam imenu hamitzvah b'shum pa'am. Meaning you have your minyan. All right, there was a breakaway minyan. And that's fine because the breakaway minyan did not destroy your minyan. So therefore, a peaceful kind of second minyan. So all of a sudden, in Shulchan Aruch, we have a case of where there was a green light of the Shulchan Aruch, again, the Mishnah Berurah rather, to break away as long as the second minyan didn't really destroy the first minyan. But again, the Shulchan Aruch was not talking about a breakaway shul or even a breakaway minyan from a shul. He was talking about a unique scenario of where there was only a minyan in a house. And therefore, it's a little bit more insulting when there's a breakaway because you're insulting not a shul, you're insulting an individual. So one can understand that, by a shul, the halacha would be more strict or more lenient.
Depends how big the shul is.
Ah, very good. The nature of the shul. Yeah, very good. So, but I would say, just before we get there, is that it would be a lot more lenient, meaning when I leave a shul, I'm not really insulting an individual, meaning it's a shul. People daven in the shul, people daven in a different shul. It's not a shtach to one host, it's a shul. So there might be a dozen reasons why I don't want to daven in that shul. It might be, one of several reasons. So I'm not really, insulting any individual. But I don't want anyone to confuse the halacha I just said with what we're going to speak about now, because again, the Shulchan Aruch is speaking about a case whereby the minyan was in a house, not a shul. But the Mishnah Berurah got us thinking in Lamdas, maybe you can have a breakaway if minyan number two. Breakaway minyan does not really destroy minyan number one. Okay, so breakaway shuls, here we go. We're going to see three approaches this evening. We're going to see the anti approach, the pro approach, and the middle approach. Okay, we're going to start with the pro approach. Pro breakaways is found in the Rivash. Ravi Yitzchak Ben Shefer, he's from Spain. He was unfortunately exiled in the Spanish Inquisition, unfortunately. I think I got his last name wrong. But the Rivash 13 to 1400s. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Rishon. And the Rivash says the following. If there are individuals who want to start their own shul and other people are upset. So let's say you have congregation A and there's a group of individuals who want to start congregation B. And there are individuals who say that's not appropriate. Says the Rivash, believe it or not, Vadai Mishaskin Osan Benazifa. Silence those protesters. Namely, let the group B people go along and make their shul. Why? They're trying to do a good thing. Shem Akvin Asarabi Melasos Mitzvah. Group B, they're trying to do a good thing or a bad thing. So in the Rivash's example, he assumes that they're trying to do a good thing. And who are you to stop people from doing a good thing? In fact, the Rambam says there are 24 things that Beis Din are obligated to what? Linados over to excommunicate someone. One of the things is someone who prevents you from doing a good thing. Meaning if you try to stop a group of people from doing a mitzvah, you should be criticized. Rambam writes that. And the Gemara Moed Katan, the Gemara Yishalmi says, Ma'akev Rabim, Melazos Mitzvah Tzarech Nidoy. Meaning the same idea of the Rambam. Namely, if you prevent a group, a large mass of people from doing a good thing, you should get excommunicated. All right, now Jerome is... Yeah.
Oh.
So here's the Rivash. The Rivash number one says, if they're trying to do a good thing, the starting point is it's great, and don't stop them. That's the Rivash. Now, I'm going to quote the next part of the Rivash. Remember, group A tried to stop them. And the Rivash said, hey, group A, why are you trying to stop people from doing a good thing? But if the group A people give a reason why they are protesting, namely, if this happens, our shul is going to get destroyed. As a call, you have to really get together, have a group meeting, and try to come up with a system whereby both minyanim can coexist. So, if group B are trying to do a good thing, and group A protests for seemingly no reason, that's not appropriate. Hey, group B is trying to do a good thing. Who are you to stop them? But if group A are politely protesting because, listen, there is a negative consequence here. Our shul will suffer because of this. So then we try to work together. So, you know, Rabbi Yudin, this we could speak about. You know, when he gave his bracha, you know, the green light to the second street minyan, which is a mile away, whatever. So that's already a different category. That's not a breakaway shul. That's a kosher, yosher. But you didn't give his approval, right? I think, I don't know the whole story, but I know enough that, you know, there was an approval given. We're not talking about Fairlands. The other side of River Road is Patterson. It's the flood zone. It's different.
They also thought it was an approved side.
Yeah, it's approved.
But it's approved. When did we rush right to shoot? And I'll tell you why. Because when the Spanish were during the expulsion, let's say in Holland,
yeah,
it was always as far as Shul and Rosh.
Very good. Okay, very good. I love that. So Adam points out, like, group A and group B could be worlds apart. Like, no one's going to protest if you have an Ashkenazi Shul A and Sephardi Shul B. That's, like, totally different. We're talking about two Ashkenazi. Let's assume two Ashkenazi Shuls. Because, you know, that's what we're talking about. But, yeah, it's a very sharp point. And it goes without saying. Who passes like the Rivash? The Ramah. The Ramah passes like this Ramah. I'm sorry, the Ramah passes like this Rivash. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of context where the Ramah is quoting this in. The Ramah is quoting this in the context of the Dinim of physical space in a shul. Meaning, let's say you have a guy who is very wealthy and he like owns like a lot of rows in a shul. And he's taking up a lot of room. And there are dinim in Choshen Mishpat about, you know, can you rent space or it's not fair and other people, you know, don't have space in the shul, you know, they want a seat, whatever. And in that context, the Ramah says, Vim rotim livnos lam beis haknesses acher, if group B people want to now build a new shul, oh, yechidim abayim livnos lam beis haknesses, if just individuals who are coming seemingly, you know, who want to now start a shul, not a breakaway, but people who are kind of coming into a community to start their own shul, whatever, now that they're breaking away from A, but they're kind of moving in alongside A, Group A cannot stop them. And if you do stop them, you should be excommunicated. So I wanted to point out that the context of the breakaway shul found in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban, Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Samach Beis, is a very legitimate reason, as I quoted from the Rivash. People didn't have enough space. And that was the context. So if there's a good reason, there's a good reason. And who makes this diuk? Dayan Weiss, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, right? The Minchas Yitzuk. He says, listen, if you look at the Rivash closely, look at the Ramban closely, Hare Muchach Midvarv Dehecha Di'i Efshar Lekayim Shneim, As mochin milchalek, meaning again, remember when Group A protested for a legitimate reason, said, "Hey, please don't break away." And if Group B is going to break away, and it's going to really cause negative consequences to Group A, if B is going to really have a negative effect on A, so they can't break away. So again, so this is the end of school of thought number one. School of thought number one is that basically, if there's a good reason and there was communication, and they kind of spoke it out, breakaway shuls are totally mutter and encouraged. Group A has the right to protest if there's a legitimate protest, and Group B has the right to break away if there's a legitimate reason to break away, as long as Group B is not killing Group A. So if Group A says, "You're going to ruin our shul because of this," and Group B says, "Yeah, we don't really care," so that would be a problem. If Group B says, "Listen, we're breaking away, but your shul will be fine. You have plenty of members. We just won't be them anymore," that is legitimate. Breakaway shul heter is in the Rivash. It is in the Ramah. But it comes with its qualifications. A legitimate reason to break away. Group A can protest, and there needs to be a response to their protest. So again, with the legitimate reasons and communication from both sides, respectful communication, it's kosher. Okay, good. Who is on the opposite extreme, right? The Mizrahi. Now, although most famous for his parish on Rashi al Torah, Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi also has Shailos v'Tshuvos and the Re'aim. So he, well, also by 1400s, right? So he writes as follows. Ugdolim yizu anu omer, ani omer she'afilu heim einam reshoim lekvoa kat la'atzmam. Says you cannot have a breakaway shul. The whole beginning of your minyan was to break away. Meaning the Mizrahi says, he's talking about individuals who, again, had broken away. And most of the Shailos HaTshuvos on the sugya are dealing with, we were one shul and now we broke away. Do we still have a chelik in the Sefer Torah? And how do we split the clay kodesh? Stuff like that. So the Mizrahi is saying, why'd you break away in the first place? That was usher. You weren't allowed to do that. You should all join together, make up, live in harmony, and jive in one shul. And he says like this. Well, if there's not enough space, So even the Re'aim caves. And he says, listen, I don't think it's permissible to have a breakaway, but I'll tell you the following. That maybe if there's what? If there's a need for it, right? Space, etc. You know, what can you do? Well, there's not enough space. But just because, what, there was a machlokas, and you need your shita, meaning the rabbi quotes, I don't know, certain svarim, and you like different types of drushes.
That's, or, yeah, that's too. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're not going to give any specific examples because you don't know. It's always two sides.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm giving you bullet point two out of three. All right. We have to take your time. I don't want to get judged. Yeah. So what's the Mizrahi saying? The starting point is that breakaway shuls are forbidden. But I can understand the legitimate reason. But what's not a legitimate reason? Machlokas. That's what he says. Who passings like this? Not he passings the Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim Kufnan Dalet. He says, well, listen. I know the Rivash gave the green light to break with Minyanim. Right? Then the Rivash say that you can break away trying to do a good thing. But just look at the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi says, seemingly you can't break away. And he goes to other Svarim also that seemingly say that you're not allowed to break away to the degree that he quotes the Sefer, the Rash HaLevi, that the Hakal Yecholim Ligzor, a shul can make a decree Shalois Bal Yud Chutz LeBeis HaKnesses. No break with minyanim. Again, we lived in a different time over here whereby there were real like policies that were like enforced and there was real like excommunication, etc. But to the degree that a shul can make a rule, no break with minyanim, to, you know, at the expense of, I don't know, a fine or whatever. So I wanted to point out that whereby the Ramah was like the Rivash, the Magen Avraham quotes the Re'eim. Now, there's not the biggest difference in the world between the Rivash and the Re'eim, even though they're the ends of the spectrum, because even the Re'eim, the Magen Avraham, did allow for a breakaway shul if there's not like enough space. Now, before we get to point number three, I want to give a point.
I'd like to say something about
of course.
Focus.
Yeah.
If they stay in the shul, they'll be machlokes.
Yes, all right.
If
so that's good.
The shul, there won't be
machlokes. Excellent. All right. So very good. So the Peter, Ab, Adam, everyone is really the Radvaz. The Radvaz. The Shalos Teshuvos Radvaz. He says your exact pshat. He says, listen. The Gemara Brachos says, Ein omdin l'tzpal v'lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch chalos rosh. When you daven, your head needs to be in a good place. V'lo mitoch ka'as. You're not allowed to daven when you're angry. Abba Chanina, you know what he says? When I was upset, I wouldn't daven. Kol shein daitum yushevas alav al yispala. Right, Gemara? If you're upset, if your head is not in the game, don't daven. Wow. Says the Red Vaz, from all of these makoros and shas we learn, you shouldn't daven in a location whereby your head is thinking the whole time that I hate davening here. They have kaas, they have this whole group of people. You know what? It's actually a really good reason to break away. If a whole group of people are just upset and there's machlokas, hayachid ha'oram she'esh lam eva o sena o kaas o meriva imat zibor o ein tefil asim ritsuya. It's not a good davening when they're just davening upset. And he says, v'asur lahem lispal al sham. It's forbidden for you to daven there. And he gives examples where you're upset at the rabbi, you're upset at the leadership of the shul. And imagine the only thing you're thinking about the whole Shabbos morning is, I hate this. Says the rabbi, that's a great reason to start a new shul. Says, listen, he says, don't think that I support this. He says, v'lo tita b'dvarai lomar shani sover shachaluka tova chasur shalom. I'm not promoting this. Listen, we know Shalom is the ideal. He says, Elet Sarach Lishtada, Shia Lev Echad, Lavim Shemeshamayim, Yisrael be one. Vim Efshar. But if the only way to be united is through Machlokas, and if we're going to be in the same roof and it's going to be ugly, so that's a time to break away. Who paskins like this? The Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva, of course, is Rivaz. The Rivaz, right, was the 1800s, right? I forget the biography of the Radvaz. He's not the Ridvaz of Tzfas. He was the Radvaz. Fortunately, I don't remember enough about his life, but he's an Achron. Not much I remember. I don't remember, unfortunately, too much about him. That being said, the Radvaz and is quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, and the Chasam Sofer also is in line with this thought. So here are our three bullet points. Well, the point one, the Ramah was like, listen, they're trying to do a good thing, great. And again, a little bit more loose. Again, there was even, wasn't just like totally fine, you know, there's a conversation to be had there. Bullet point number two was like, whoa, it's usher. Again, also a conversation to be had, sometimes legitimate excuses, not enough space, whatever. Bullet point number three is, breakaway shuls are part of life. It's like, you know, I'm not saying they're all threes, they're not all so different. You can have a chart where all three opinions would basically agree. Yeah, they're all basically saying that there's legitimacy to breakaway shuls, but they come from a different angle. Like, the question is, like, what's the starting point? The starting point is, I think they all agree that ideally this should not exist. But the aim is, like, the starting point is also that it's usher to do it, you know? And whereas the starting point of the Rivash was, like, it's totally mutter. It's, like, ideal even, you know? And here, there's, like, a middle ground, I think, of the Radvaz, where it's not ideal, but, like, it's part of life. So here you have some sentences of Chaylus and Chuvos, whereby you play out the case. So play out the case. So let's say there's like a real machlokas and people need to kind of break away. Okay, so you have a Radvaz to rely on, you have the Rivash to rely on, you know, you have people to rely on, right? That's how you break away. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about this, and he says, listen, well, what's going to happen? He says, if it's going to cause only a small financial loss, all right, fine. And assuming everyone is really entitled to daven in the first shul, okay, fine. He gives three criteria. And he says, V'yesh tam l'chalei ka'am l'chati gamim lo lokach kol parnaso rach ir. I'm sorry, he gives three criteria. Number one, imlai bais risho nimser l'chol tzibur. Only if, like, the first shul wasn't really open to the entire community, number one, meaning the first shul wasn't really inviting. You know, that's a good reason to break away. Number two is that there's a legitimate purpose to break away. Number three is that you're not going to completely devastate the first community financially. So again, it's very sensitive. And Ramosha has a fiery tshuva where he basically says that there was a breakaway shul and it completely destroyed the first shul financially. And he basically said that the people who are claiming to have good reasons better be telling the truth, or else they're going to pay for it in the next world. You know, to give you the upshot of a very lengthy tshuva, or Rav Moshe Feinstein. So what?
Can this in any way be a situation where there's a certain business in one community and then a competitive business opens up?
Totally. You are on the ball. Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva is all about Hasagas Gevul, what we call, right? Where I open up a pizza store and the pizza store across the street, you know, interferes. That's exactly the sugya. But Basra, two shuls, totally can the community support both of them. Now, that's the sugya. Totally, you nailed it on the head, Robert, 100%. So Rav Moshe basically, in our generation, did say that the financial consequences need to be taken very, 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 very seriously. And let's be honest, that's really what it comes down to. When you have a breakaway shul and the membership is now divided in half, or, you know, instead of paying full membership to the first shul, everyone's paying partial membership to both shuls. So, you know, let's not pretend that there are no negative consequences. But the Avnei Nezer did say that's okay. Avnei Nezer said that if it's only picheis b'parnasa so, that's okay. Meaning, if you're not going to go bankrupt and it's only going to make you, you know, maybe kind of cause a financial loss, but not devastating loss, Avnei Nezer said that is legitimately, you know, he said that. A loss is not the same as bankrupt. So that is an important note of the Avnei Nezer. Rav Moshe, though, basically said this guy became bankrupt because of you, and, you know, he was pretty upset with what was going on. And again, Rav Moshe is upset, and he didn't get upset. So all in all, I think the major point is how we started. What's your motive? What's your L'shem Shemayim? Are you doing this to run away from shul? Are you doing this to run closer to shul? Meaning, is this the shul you've been waiting for, the breath of fresh air that would bring you closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, the kind of davening you were hoping for, the tzibur you were hoping for? Or is this like, an excuse, basically, to daven without a drasha, to run away from a rabbi, to run away from a shul? And that's, I think, the question. Are you running towards Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, towards a leader that maybe is more your style, that will bring you closer to Hashem, or are you running away from the leadership of the Torah? And I think that's the answer everyone needs to answer in these questions. That's the ultimate question, the sugya. What is your motive? Are you like Moshe? Are you like Korach? Are you working for the Ribono Shel Olam with the Tzibur? Or are you working against the Ribono Shel Olam, against the best interests of the Tzibur? Case by case needs to be examined. Have a wonderful evening.